Hello, every. Hello, everyone. Welcome to episode 46. Back at you. We took a week off.
I got sick.
I know, and I'm kind of. I don't know. I'm hoping this is not a cold that the dude gave me via your illness that he inappropriately, with germ-ridden hands, touched your vagina and through osmosis.
No, it was because I was sick, and I licked my hand and touched your vagina, and then it got you sick.
Oh, I forgot about that.
Yeah,
you totally touched my vagina.
Yeah.
In any case, I'm hoping that it's just allergies because we've been up and down here in temperatures and stuff, but, you know, whatever.
So, whatever. I thought mine was allergies too, but it was a weird cold where if it wasn't for the fact that it was the exact same symptoms that my dude had, I would have assumed it was allergies because it just felt like that. But I don't know. Whatever.
Well, you know how I'm treating. Yeah. Do you know how I'm treating mine? Having a beer. There you go.
That'll do it. Mm-hmm. I'm very distracted. I'm very distracted today because I got so excited. I came home the other day, and you gotta love when you just have packages that usually when I order stuff, I still get excited when there's packages at the door. I walk up and
go,
yay, what did I get? Oh, I bought those things. But it's still fun. But I walked up and there was a big box and I was like, yay, what did I get? Wait, I know I ordered stuff, but I didn't order that. It was a gigantic Cuisinart box. And I thought I know I definitely didn't buy anything Cuisinart. So I opened it up, and it is a Cuisinart ice cream maker.
From who? A wedding gift?
It was a wedding gift.
Was it from me?
It was from you.
It wasn't from me. I didn't send you shit.
It wasn't from you. You did. You sent me some nudie photos. But it was...
And a go-girl.
And a go-girl. You sent me some nudie photos and a go-girl. Oh, you know what? I did not send you a thank you card. I just did my thank you cards. Hang on. I'm going to make a note to myself.
That is really not necessary.
It is necessary. As
your maid of honor, why would you send me anything?
I don't know why. Because I have some cards made up of just my areolas that I'm sending just to you.
As a special
thank you.
I can't, you know, not that I haven't seen your areolas before, but I certainly would love to see them in a digital card form, you know, format.
Right. So now I am totally, I've made, not going to lie, I have made ice cream or whatever, a version of ice cream, which isn't really ice cream. Yeah, I have made in my Vitamix, my blender, because the Vitamix makes ice cream. And I tried so many different recipes and it is fucking phenomenal. But
do you put oatmeal in it with berries and bananas in it?
Yeah, how did you know? No, fucker. Listen, judgy McJudger crap pants.
What?
What? Just because you're sick and cranky doesn't mean you have to judge.
But you know, I'm really...
No, but you know...
I'm self-proclaimed funny at this point.
Yeah. Bitter is super funny. No. I did narrow it down to one of my favorite ice creams was in the Vitamix... Because I was trying to find something that was healthier, that wasn't just loaded with sugar, because I was trying to do a break from refined sugar.
Right.
And dates. Sweetening stuff with dates. Dates have so much natural sugar in them. Holy mother of God. I did dates. Why?
Because dates and prunes make me think of shitting.
So what's wrong with shitting? Dairy. Dairy makes people shit anyway.
Well, okay, go on with your date ice cream.
So, yeah, so date. So I think one of my favorite ones was the strawberry date one, which was literally just strawberries, dates, and frozen strawberries, dates, and I think I might have used almond milk.
You know what? Can you please put that recipe up for our listeners? Because I am certain that they would love to know how you make this amazing recipe.
No, I'm not going to, and you know why? Because you have that pinched little pursed look on your face that you get when you're fucking with me and you're being judgmental.
Well, there you go.
So now I'm distracted because I realized on my way home, on my drive home, I thought, oh, I want to make ice cream tonight. But I'm looking through the recipes in this little book and it's not that easy. You have to cook things and you have to allow things to cool and you have to... So I'm looking at different recipes online because I think there's ways to do it without having to cook things.
Yeah, you know what you could do? You could actually take like a half gallon of vanilla ice cream and put it in your mixer, your Cuisinart, and then let that freeze again, and that's ice cream.
Yeah, 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 mm-hmm. yeah.
Okay, so we took a week off. We hope that you have enjoyed episodes from the past that you may not have listened to. We have some really good ones. We're at a year now that we've been doing the podcast.
Mm.
Thank you for all of those that have kept with us.
Mm-hmm.
And our 37 listeners. But I'm also seeing from a statistics that mm-hmm. our first episode keeps getting clicked. We're at 143 listeners.
We're so much better than that first episode, though.
I know, but that episode was really funny. I really want
people
really
just to start with, if people could just start in the middle, or even if they just want to start with Fucked Up Cousin Baby, that's a good place to start.
I know. You know what? Fucked Up Cousin Baby is really, really good. And I think I decided that from a parallel universe, I should name my children. So at some point when that comes up, maybe I will have names of a boy and a girl from my Fucked Up Cousin Baby parallel universe. Mm-hmm. And maybe, what do we got, about 90 days before the first day of school pictures come out? Maybe I will take pictures of some random children who perhaps could be my Fucked Up Cousin Baby children in other parallel universe.
Oh, so you're a hypocrite in the parallel universe as well?
No. What's beautiful is the fact that I don't exist in a parallel universe. These children don't exist in a parallel universe. Therefore, the pictures wouldn't really exist in a parallel universe. So there you go. It's a wash. I can create, it's like The Sims. I can create a whole nother life according to you in this parallel universe that I do not reside in. I could create this whole thing. And in that universe, maybe there are first day of school pictures.
What would your kids' names be? Martha? Hilda? Mm.
I don't know. I mean, when I actually was thinking about having children, I thought originally, did you have to do those eggs in eighth grade when they were teaching you about responsible parenthood? Did you have to do those hollowed out eggs?
I've seen so many episodes of television that involve those stupid eggs that I feel like I have, but I honestly probably know.
I did in eighth grade. I had twins.
Did you really?
Yeah, I had twins, and it was Michael Joseph and Cassandra Jane. Were the two that I had. They had little yarn hair and googly eyes painted on. I mean, I still have, you know what the weird thing is I still have them.
What?
They're in this steel file thing, if you put recipe cards in.
What?
So they reside in
this bag. No, don't tell people that. You're never going to get a guy. Don't tell people.
Wait. I can't have children anymore, but I do have these egg babies from 1983
I
still have. And this will only tell you what a good parent I am because they're not broken yet.
You need to try to get a hold of your teacher.
Wouldn't that be weird? Hello, Mr. Mobley from eighth grade.
Mr. Mobley, I just wanted to check in with you to let you know if it's okay to dispose of these now because somehow it feels like abortion.
34 years later. I still have these eggs from eighth grade.
It feels like murder.
But you know what? They were tucked away with my eighth grade graduation picture and t-shirts and whatnot.
Weird. It's weird. You cannot sugarcoat that. That's fucking weird. And I am a person who saves shit. I get sentimental, but that's weird.
How is that weird? How is it any weirder than having a t-shirt from eighth grade? How is it any weirder from having I have when I pledged a sorority in college, we had to carry an arrow with pearls for the number of women that we pledge with. I still have that.
I have a lot of that stuff too. Most of the stuff that I keep are the collages. You know, back when you're in college, in high school, we were big on the collages.
We'd have photos
and stuff. And, you know, now, back then, nothing was digital. So the photos, the actual photo, the prints were the only things that you had. And
a couple videos from things that should not have been seen.
Well, yeah, but I mean, you just have the prints. If you either put them in a photo album or you made a collage with them. So now, you know, there were photos that I was looking through where I was like, God, here's the negatives, but where are the photos that belong to these? Because these were some really great photos. And then later I found the big, you know, poster board with the collages that I made out of them. And I'm like, motherfucker, now I have to keep the collages. Otherwise, I'm throwing the photos away and I want to keep the photos.
Well, in that regard,
I was very creative and artistic. But
well, I'm sure you still are. In my senior year of high school, I was the I was class historian, and we had to do a senior slideshow. I still have the slides, which I would love to. I got to figure out how to transfer them.
Hmm.
But I still have the slides. I mean, that's the kind of gal I am. There's certain shit I hold on to. and certain stuff that I'm like, maybe. I just unearthed, there's a whole bunch of stuff in my garage, and I was looking for something, and I found it, but I submitted a stupid human trick to David Letterman in, I don't know, 1993. And I found he
planes,
just...
You're about to get strafed by machine gun fire from that plane that just came so close.
I gotta catch my flight. No, but I found, like...
Was it dropping quarters out of your ass? Is that your stupid human trick? Yeah.
It was. Yeah. And he...
It's an oldie, but a goodie.
It is an oldie, but a goodie. But the cool thing was is that... so I got this rejection letter. It's actually... Oh, hold on. Let me read it. One second.
Because of course you still have it.
Well, here's the weird thing, right? So with David Letterman ending his show, I was watching the last couple episodes, and he was, you know, the very last episode, he did a montage of, like, stupid human tricks, stupid pet tricks, and it made me think, and I'm like, where is that letter? I know I still have it. And in my garage, there's a little portion of my garage that has amalgamation of all, do you like that word? Amalgamation. Mm-hmm. An amalgamation of all these different things that I've been saving over the years, and I went right to it. And so for those of you that don't know, I have a special trick that I can place quarters in my butt crack while clothed and drop them into a glass. It has benefited Keith greatly. She got Bon Jovi tickets.
I think we told that story in one of our episodes.
Yeah, we did. But this is for those people that are like picking up at episode 45. So yeah. We're just going to. But anyway, so in I got a letter December 14th of 1994. And what was really cool is that this is the letterhead actually is Late Show with David Letterman from the Ed Sullivan Theater. I had just submitted this trick when he left NBC and went to CBS. And here's the letter. Dear Girk, thank you for your interest in Late Show with David Letterman. Thank you for sending us the tape of your trick. We reviewed it in a recent talent meeting. Although we appreciate your talents, this trick does not meet our criteria of our existent format. Thanks again for thinking of us at Late Show. Enclosed, please find the tape that you sent us. Now, what's funny about that is that at that time, Letterman had different things going on with stupid human tricks of people releasing things from their ears or their mouths or their nose or, like, you know, putting a needle up their one side or a string and pulling it out the other and all this stuff. But obviously, the buttocks region was not appropriate content for their family-oriented show.
And I'm sure it became one a little bit later.
Yes. But I had a friend at the time who was friends with all the writers on the show. And he, just out of curiosity, contacted them. And he said, so my friends submitted this trick. And they're like, oh, my God. Oh, my God. We were laughing so hard. But because the format at CBS was so much more family oriented, was so much more conservative, there's nothing we could do with it. Like at that time in 1994, we could not focus a camera on someone's butt releasing quarters. Otherwise, we would have. So... there you have it. But I have this letter signed by Susan Hall Sheehan.
They actually remembered you? You know how many videos they probably get and they actually remembered you?
Well, yeah. Well, my friend contacted them right away. Like, as soon as I got the letter, he contacted them and he was just like, so what did you think of that? They're like, it was brilliant. We just couldn't do anything with it with the guidelines and, you know, the whatever their restrictions were. But they thought it was really funny. In any case, I've gotten a lot of mileage out of that since then. But I just found a bunch of things, that being one of them, and the egg babies were one of them, and T-shirts from high school and grade school and whatnot, and I found the egg babies. So coming this background full circle, I still have them, and I have no biological children of my own. What does that say? But you asked me in the alternate universe, at the time, it would have been Michael Joseph, which, you know what's really weird?
What? That you have eggs in a tin can from 35 years ago. So,
anyway,
it's weird because your baby name matches a man from your past. Your egg baby name matches a man from your past.
Wow.
You still have the egg baby, but you don't have the man from your past still.
Well, that's interesting.
There was something else I was going to say. Now I can't remember what it was. We got sidetracked by quarters out of your ass.
I know. I wish you could find that audio tape, seriously, of the Mark and Brian show.
I have it somewhere. Oh, I know. We were talking about memorabilia stuff because I recently went through and got rid of, you know, I had a box of stuff. I still have some of it because there were a few of them that I couldn't get rid of. But I had boxes of clothes in my garage over the years that, because I have no problem getting donating clothes that I don't wear anymore. But
that's a Goodwill, because we don't do Goodwill.
I still do, because I'm a hypocrite and because I'm lazy.
Goodwill's not so good.
Goodwill is not so good. But they opened up one right around the corner from my house, and I'm lazy and a hypocrite.
I'm driving around with a bag of clothes in my car for like 3 weeks because I will not give it to Goodwill.
It takes me forever to take it to the Goodwill, don't get me wrong. But I have boxes of clothes that are memorabilia clothes, because it's not just the clothes that you give away, but I have the memorabilia clothes full of t-shirts that have that smell. You know when you have old t-shirts that have that smell, that musty kind of like body oil smell? But they, there were t-shirts from sorority events from college, and I have my Bon Jovi t-shirt that, you know, from the concert that I went to that says, "We came, we saw, we kick your ass." I have a bunch of Bon Jovi concert t-shirts. Those are the only ones I think I still hung on to, because honestly, over the years, I think I got rid of all of my sorority t-shirts and all of, I think I eventually just kind of, eventually a little bit at a time, I just, you know, slowly kind of every 5 years or so, whenever I would go through the garage, I'd go, "Oh, fuck it. I can't take it. I'm getting rid of it." Pare down even more. Why? Were you going to, was that a judgmental tone?
No, I mean, I was. I just didn't know you were.
What sorority were you in?
Alpha Sigma Pi. We were not a national sorority.
Oh, I was going to say, I don't think I've heard of Alpha Sigma Pi.
You wouldn't have.
I was a Chi Omega.
What are they known for?
Partying. Are you peeing right now? Oh my God. Are you peeing? You're peeing. Let it be known to the world that Kirk is peeing. Kirk is peeing. I want to be real quiet so you can hear the pee. And if you listen real carefully, my side of the audio is not echoey. But Kirk's side, her laughter is echoey because she's now in her bathroom and she's peeing. Now, it doesn't really matter anymore because we did use the Go Girl and both of us actually peed on the air. So I suppose what's the difference, really? Because technically you could have whipped out the Go Girl and it would have been more of an experiment. However, no.
Do you know that I'm carrying the microphone from one place in my house to the other?
Everyone can hear it because all of a sudden it got really echoey and jostly and...
We're editing that out.
No, we are not.
I couldn't help it. I had to pee so badly, and I didn't want to take a break. And I thought maybe if I just let it trickle out really slowly.
Yeah, because that always works.
I'm so sorry. I'd like to think of it like a good girlfriend on the phone that you can pee with.
I love it because the funny thing about it is sometimes when I've been at work, this is sad, I'll be on a conversation and I'll take a break and I'll stand in the hallway and then I'll have to pee. So I'll just walk down the hallway and the bathroom at work only has two stalls in it. So a lot of times you can get in and out without anyone else walking in. So I'll kind of like sneak in there and I'll figure I'll just pee real quick and be real quiet. Sometimes if you wad up some toilet paper and you throw it in there, your pee hits it. It kind of like muffles the sound a little bit.
I should have done that.
I can see you. And so it wads, it muffles the sound a little bit. But inevitably, every single time I've done that, the person I've been talking to goes, "So anyway, are you peeing? Are you in a bathroom?"
But why did you call me out on it? You totally could. No one would have ever known.
Really? Really? I think people need to post on our Facebook page, Double Bubble with, I think it's just Double Bubble, right?
Or really? You don't even know our Facebook page.
I think it's Double Bubble with Kirk and Keek on Facebook. I think they need to post. They would have known. Trust me. I'm going to go back and I'm going to splice some audio in right here. Or it'll just be me saying, "Wait. Oh my God, did you guys just get a freak rainstorm that came through? The rain is hitting the window pane really hard right now.
Why are we drawing attention to this? I was trying not to stop the flow of show because
no,
I had to
no pun intended. Friend.
Right. Okay, since we're talking about bodily functions, yet once again, well, I have a story.
Oh, okay.
So, as you know, Ruth is going through some medical challenges right now. And about 2 weeks ago, I had said that she'd gone to the hospital. But what I forgot to mention was I went to her house the Friday that she was admitted because she was vomiting, projectile vomiting. And I live a few minutes away from her, so I ran over there to kind of assess the situation and whatever. And I'd walked in, I was barefoot. I walked into the kitchen and my mom had gotten up because she was feeling sick again. She rushed into the bathroom. I can hear her like gagging and like, you know, like going. And so I wanted to give her space. So I, you know, she was in the restroom and I'm walking back through the hallway and I was going to go back into her bedroom and the carpet there in her hallway is a dark brown. There's no light there, whatever. And I walked and I stepped in something slimy.
Where is this going?
And have you ever stepped in like something like urine from a dog or cat or some other foul fucking thing that you've stepped in?
What did you step in?
Barefoot. And then what you do is you step in it and then you realize that you've stepped in something completely disgusting and you don't know what it is. And you start walking on that heel. You start hobbling on that heel.
Were you barefoot?
Yeah. You start hobbling on that heel back to like the sink so that you can wash your foot off because you're like, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. I just stepped in something really gross. I just totally stepped in something really gross. So I go back in the kitchen because I don't want to like make my mom feel bad because I don't really know what happened. And I'm like, I must have stepped in her vomit. I mean, I must have like, as she's running to the bathroom, I must have stepped in her, the beginning of her projectile vomit. So I wipe off my foot and she's finishing up and she goes back in to her bedroom. And I said, you know, mom, I think I stepped in your vomit. And she goes, that wasn't vomit.
A little bit of poo came out.
Yeah, she diarrheaed a little bit as she was the projectile vomiting.
Couldn't that have just been something that you guys left unsaid? Couldn't you just have left it unsaid? Is there nothing that your family just leaves unsaid?
I stepped in something that was vile. So I say to her, mom, because I don't want her to step in it, I'm going to clean it up. And the carpet's really brown and I couldn't see. It was really dark in the hallway and I step in it. And then I'm like, oh my God, that's really gross. Oh my God, oh my God. I go take care of it thinking it's just vomit because I'm like, okay, it's spit and it's whatever. And then I come to realize that it's like excrement. And now I have to like antibacterial my foot and like all this stuff. And I'm like, and then we both start laughing because it's just so disgusting. It was so disgusting.
Yeah, that's pretty gross.
But
I think that could have gone unsaid. I honestly think that you could have just wiped off your foot, cleaned up the floor, and
no,
just left it unsaid.
Come
I think
on.
You could have left it unsaid.
No, that one, that's not how my family operates. And two, that wouldn't have been really funny not to share with the show. So then now I'm like completely grossed out. And she's, you know, it's just like, but then there's this weird component, right? Where you feel bad because the person that you love is going through such horrendous physical things, you know, whether it's bowel movement stuff or urinating or vomiting. And all of a sudden you're like, yeah, I stepped in my mom's shit, but how sad is it that she was so sick that she couldn't control that? So now judge that, Keek. Now,
oh, I'm not judging it. I'm not, I'm not judging it. I get it. I'm just saying sometimes
awful.
There are things that are left unsaid, you know, that
Ooh.
You could just...
Should I have not shared this with our audience?
Oh, no, you could share it with us, but I mean, you know, I don't know. Hey, wait. So what happened with your mom? Did she get into the trial?
Well, waiting for two more weeks. She's hopefully building strength up. But
Well, wait, she went. And then what do you just interview?
She went and she's eligible to be in the study. And over the course of 3 weeks, she has to wait for the bureaucracy and the red tape for the pharmaceutical company to approve her to be in the study. Her cancer cannot progress and she cannot go back into the hospital due to her illness or deteriorate. So that being said,
while they're making up their mind, she can't deteriorate at all. But your mom, but she's in and out of the hospital.
She hasn't been, thankfully. I mean, okay. She's been really good. Actually, she's been eating more and she's, you know, hopefully gaining strength. So she says to me, you know, a couple, I don't know, it was like 2 weeks ago. She says, I need to go to Target and will you take me? And I said, sure. So I go over there. And she has one of those walkers that has the seat on them. They have these like bullshit brakes that don't do anything. But
I think I bought one of those. My sister and I bought one of those for my grandpa when he was still alive.
Oh, that's nice. But it's, you know, so you walk with it, and then when you get tired, you can sit down.
Yes.
So she needs to walk more to gain strength, but if she gets tired, she needs to sit. So we're walking through the Target, and she's like, we should get a cart. We should get a cart. And I'm doing the little hand basket thing, and I'm like, no, we're okay. And it comes to a point where now, you know, two items becomes 10. And so a cart was
Isn't that
really...
always the fucking way at Target? God, it kills me.
So then we're like, she sits down in the cart. You know, on the seat, I should say, she sits down on the seat of the walker, and she starts, like, walking with her feet while she's sitting in the walker. You're not supposed to do that. It's not a wheelchair. It's a walker. But she's doing this anyway, and it seems to be working just fine. And so finally she's grabbed some random cart in the middle of some aisle somewhere. I'm sure someone was really pissed. They went back to their cart, and it was gone.
Yes. But
so then I'm like, okay, cool. So I put the stuff that I have inside the cart. I said, Ruth, you push the cart. I'll push you in the walkers sitting, which you're not supposed to do, pushing that. So we get through the whole store.
You're those people that people take pictures of in the Walmart and they make those coffee table books about.
Yeah, that's not lost on me, but I didn't really know. I didn't really know what to do at the time because I have a mother who can't move and a shitload of stuff that needs to go to the checkout.
Yeah.
And it kind of felt like we were like, the tractor trailer of a semi.
Yes.
Like, she had to turn the cart so that I could turn her. It was kind of crazy.
I'm waiting at one point for that walker to fucking break, because that's not what those are meant for.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. So we're at the checkout line, and I say to her, damn me for saying this, I said to my mom, you know, this worked out really well, actually. We were able to maneuver through the store in utilizing this device in a way
which
is not its intended purpose. And we go to the walkout. I mean, we are like scot-free. We are going to the car, and I hit the ledge of the door frame of the doors to go out. And her feet were under the cart.
Oh, no.
And I'm pushing her, and I hit the little lump, and she and the cart go flying.
Uh-oh.
And she lands on her butt.
Oh, no.
And she's completely in shock because she just got the news 3 days ago that she's not to be at the hospital for any reason whatsoever.
Oh, no.
And she's broken her acetabulum, which is part of the hip before. And it is complete terror in her face. Now, I have to pretend like I'm all cool with this, even though I am scared shitless because I didn't know what the fuck was going to happen here. And she's literally sitting in the doorway, and this very kind gentleman came up, and he's like, do you need help? And she's like all deer in headlights because she's scared and she's hurting. Thankfully, I mean, her fall was only about 3 feet. It wasn't like she dropped from a standing position straight down on her butt.
Yeah.
So I said to the gentleman, I'm like, can you just hang for a second? And because the worst thing you want to do, folks at home, from a medical point of view, is you never just lift somebody up when they've fallen, because you need to assess what if they have any injuries. I mean, you don't want to move someone with a broken bone or whatever. So I let her assess, and I'm asking her, you know, her pain and whatnot. And she says she thinks she's okay. So the gentleman and I, we're talking dead weight of my mom. We lift her up, and she can walk without, so clearly she hasn't broken anything. So I push this little like walker / seat thing to the side. We walk her over to it. She sits on. I thank the man so profusely for helping us. And I just sit with her for a minute. I'm like, are you okay? Because I'm okay. Are you okay? Because I'm okay. She's like, I'm okay. I'm really in a lot of pain. I'm like, what kind of pain? So we start going back and forth with that. And then she goes, I think you should get the car. I'm like, I think that's a good idea. So I went and got the car. But clearly, really felt like an asshole for doing that. One, because I know better. But it just seemed like the lesser of two evils. Like, how do I move this woman through the store who can no longer walk? And I have a cart full of shit. So that happened. That was fun.
Well, but how would they know, though? Like, whether she was in or out of the hospital, how would they know? It's not like you, if they say, were you in or out of the hospital?
No. Well, they're going to ask for her medical records. And I think, quite honestly, that, you know, if she were in the hospital for any other reason, like for a broken bone or whatever, other than her cancer-related illness, that would be fine. But at the point, it had only been a couple of days since she'd come back from Indianapolis, which is where the study's being held, that she was just like, oh, shit. Oh, shit. Oh, shit. Ugh, so there you go. So that was fun. That was great.
Well,
Yeah.
So we still have to hold out prayers for Ruth.
Yeah, thoughtful vibes sent our way, prayers. But I think, you know, she's doing, I think since she's gotten back from Indianapolis, her mindset is in a much better place. And I'm looking forward to having her back on the show soon so that she can share some of her funnier antics with us.
Yeah, that would be nice. I would like that because everybody does love them some Ruth, that's for sure.
Yeah, and my sister's been here the last 3 weeks on and off because she's had some health issues as well. And I don't know if y'all remember this, but my sister is very modest or has become modest as she's gotten older. And I've mooned her a couple times and she's like gone apeshit. I mean, she's like, oh my God, I can't believe you did this. Blah, blah, blah. So last night she was here and my sister has multiple sclerosis.
You had the best line ever to me once when you were talking about your families and their ailments and how blessed you are. Do you remember what you said?
No, but go ahead and remind me.
You said, it's so hard because it's hard to see my, you know, family and they have like big time illnesses, cancer and multiple sclerosis and tumors.
Brain tumor.
And you were like, Jesus, I'm just fat.
I've decided this, Keek. I have decided, do you remember the Munsters, the TV show The Munsters?
Yes, I do.
I have decided that I am Marilyn Munster in my family. Because
the
rest of my family has like serious, like tragic illnesses, medical illnesses. And I am seemingly normal other than I'm fat and prone to anxiety from time to time. Go figure.
I'm just fat with anxiety. I don't know.
Yeah, so I feel like I am the Marilyn Munster.
You're the underachiever. Yeah, you're the underachiever in your family full of Munsters.
Yeah, so my sister's here last night. It's been pretty humid here in Chicago. And all of a sudden, out of nowhere, I'm in bed. And I have a really great Tempur-Pedic bed. And I have a guest bedroom, but she doesn't like that bed. And I have a couch and whatever. But for whatever reason, she wanted to climb into the king-size bed, which is fine. I mean, it's my sister. We shared a bed for half of our life, you know, for 15 years of our life or whatever. And she comes in and she says to me, I hope you don't mind, but I'm not wearing a shirt. And I roll over and I look at her and I go, well, I hope you don't mind, but I'm not wearing any underpants because I don't sleep like that. I had a nightgown on. I didn't have any underwear, which is how I dress.
Coco needs to breathe. That's how I roll.
When we were growing up, my mom always told us that we had to air out.
I know. Mine did too. And yet somewhere, right. Lately I've actually been doing it again because the show kind of reminded me that that's how I was raised. But
yeah.
Over the years, somehow my pajamas have started to be a tank top and like boy short underwear. But no, I've gone back to airing out my girl, my flower.
Yeah, usually I wear a t-shirt, and because I knew my sister was here and I know how sensitive she is to this issue, I wore a nightgown and, you know, whatever. And my sister is buxom. She has got a serious.
So that can't be comfortable to sleep with no bra on. Why does she sleep with no bra on?
What are you talking about? Who wouldn't in their right mind would sleep with a bra?
Well, not bra, but like no top, like no nothing to kind of hold the girls. I've heard I do not have gigantic bazongas like the ladies of your family, but I've been told that women with really large breasts usually have to wear some sort of form of support to bed because it's not comfortable.
Mm-hmm. Well, I don't know. You know what? The interesting thing is that my family lineage, they don't have big breasts. My mom is completely in awe of the fact that somehow my sister and I got really big boobs.
Does Ruth not have big boobies?
Not really, no. No, and I think it's because my sister and I, you know, are a little chunkier. But my maternal grandmother, I mean, I guess she had a decent rack, but my paternal grandmother was this, you know, 5'2" Irish gal with like maybe AIDS. I call them like sunny side up eggs. I mean, she had nothing going on.
Really?
So I don't really know where these came from. I'm attributing it to weight, perhaps. In any case, So my sister with these really big behemoth boobs is laying next to me. And my sister is, you know, like I can walk into the bathroom when she's showering and that's fine. But she's really, really private for the most part. But she was so uncomfortable last night that she's like, I hope you don't mind. And I said, wait a second. How is it that if I show my butt, you go all freaked out on me? But you're just now going to tell me and apologize for laying next to me with your boobs. Like, because I could care either way. I'm a naked girl, so.
Well, did she Did she freak out that she had to sleep next to your naked vag?
No, because I was wearing a nightgown, so for all intents and purposes, the nightgown was like down to my knees. It wasn't like we were rubbing heinies in the bed next to each other. We're in a king size bed. One, two. She's got underpants on, and it doesn't even matter. But I was. It was so interesting to me, and so I said, you know, we were taught to air out. So when did this whole underwear thing happen? And she just said that she thinks it was. She thinks it was when she was older and she moved to Wisconsin because she's afraid that things will crawl into her vagina or her anus.
Oh, good God. Who told her that?
Well, apparently at one point she had a deer tick on her outer labia.
What? I think a deer tick would have found her outer labia whether she was wearing underwear or not.
And that's what I said to her. I go, so do you think that the deer tick just jumped onto your labia? She goes, no, I think it was on pants that I was wearing. And then it crawled kind of up and into my business. And I said, then what does it have to do with airing out? And she goes, well, it could have been in the bed. I'm like, it would not have just randomly shown up in your bed. It would have had to have been brought from the outside. So then we kind of went into this whole thing about the deer tick. And then she told me, I'm like, oh, my God, how did you get the deer tick out of your labia? And she's like, I dug it out. I'm like, how did you dig it out? Because you can't see the whole thing. And was it really engorged with blood? And then I started thinking about the fact that this tick is on her labia. And it was really upsetting to me. But it had nothing to do with, like, the fact that she wasn't wearing underpants. It was the fact that there was a deer tick at her labia in the first place, which made me go on to back to the fact that I used to enjoy sleeping nude, completely nude.
I did too. I think we talked about this. I did too, but it kind of changed because once my son got old enough and once I had somebody else that I was sleeping with, I mean, I prefer sleeping nude, but it depends on the time of year. If it's cold, you know, sometimes when you're naked, I need to have socks on or something. But
yeah, that's has your socks are covering your boobs and your vag. So yeah,
no, but there's something. Oh, I gotta yawn. Oh, excuse me. No, but there's something about the heat. You know, the heat escapes through your feet and through the top of your head. So that's why, you know, I don't know.
So do you wear a ski cap too?
No, because now that I have a, you know, gigantic man who emanates heat sleeping in my bed with me, I don't have a problem getting cold anymore.
You know what did it for me? Ever since like when I was living in California and the thought of earthquakes and then going through that really big earthquake, that kind of screwed me up because I didn't want to run around naked.
You know, some people told me that. For me, that didn't really bother me as much. I think it was just as my son got older and I had someone else here now. Before, it was just the two of us. And we walk around naked. It was kind of a naked house. And it was still a naked house for a while. But when there was someone else here, that addition of the other person kind of made for more modesty. Because he's not part of the inner sanctum of the family, according to my son. So, and my son got old enough that he didn't want to walk around naked anymore. He started putting underwear on and I don't come out of my bedroom naked as much anymore. If I, you know, I'll have to come out of my underwear, but then it also became like, there was a stage where the kids were at that age where they would come in and we never knew when they were coming in. Right. And it not even from a, oh, we just had sex or we're having sex standpoint, just from a sleeping in the nude standpoint. I kept telling my guy, you got to put underwear on because he likes to sleep naked, but he can't sleep that way. So he still sleeps naked. But the kids know now that you know, the genie's out of that bottle. They can't take that one back. They know. So they don't, whatever. They just make fun of him. But there was something about my comfort level. And if they came in or if they wanted to jump in bed in the morning and both of us were naked, it just seemed a little bizarre. It seemed a little awkward.
Well, as a naked person, you know, in general, if the kids came in, I would be just like, back up for a second. We sleep without any clothes on, so give us a second. But when I had stepkids that were around, my husband and I at the time would sleep whatever way we slept. Once I came back to Illinois, it was a little easier to sleep naked because I wasn't, you know, under imminent fear of, earthquakes. But you just always had your clothes at the ready just in case you had to throw them on to, you know, to go out if there were other, but both, I mean, we've talked about this too a little bit, but you know, my older nephews, who are like sons to me and, you know, my stepkids at the time, I mean, everyone was kind of cool being in their underwear. So that was never really a big issue, for whatever reason, I grew up with my sister. I mean, we shared a bedroom, and in high school, we shared a bed.
Really?
So, yeah. We had a really small house.
Oh.
We had only...
High school, though, that's a tough age to be sharing a bed. My sister and I were... I mean, we got along, but man, that the high school years
was horrible.
Were
it was
when
really
we had
hard.
Some of our worst fights. So to have to share a bed with somebody, my God, I'm pretty sure there were
was
there
awful.
Was at least once where she almost smothered me to death with a pillow in my sleep.
Yeah. Well, with me and my sister sharing a bed, if one person was pissed off at the other, you would sabotage the middle of the night in the winter, like stealing all the covers. And you like cocoon yourself and the other person would be fucked. Like you'd totally be like, ha, huh, freeze your ass off, bitch. You know what I mean? Like, because you're just mean and 15 and 17 years old and you're just like, ah. But my sister, yeah, we were not really close in high school. So it was a tough go sharing a bed. And I think we did that for like 3 or 4 years. I mean, when we were younger, we shared a bedroom. We had twin beds. But the biggest room in the house was my mom's. And as we became teenagers, my mom gave that up for us, which was really nice of her. But maybe not, you know, at the end. Maybe she put us through some more psychological damage. Oh, boy. So in any case,
she just didn't want to hear you screaming at each other anymore. So she had to get you in separate beds.
Well, there you go. So, yeah. So it was just kind of interesting how my sister's developed this modesty. And then all of a sudden out of nowhere, she's just like, I'm laying here naked. I'm like, but you do have underpants on. She goes, yeah. I'm like, I don't have tics here. My bedding.
So if she wasn't afraid that your dirty bed would give her vagina tics, would she have been sleeping naked?
I doubt it. I doubt it. I think that she may not like me saying this, but part of their discussion as well was, I said, so why don't you sleep without underpants at your home? And she said, because when I did that, my husband felt that if I didn't have any underpants on, it was go time.
Yeah, I know where she's coming from there. I know where she's coming from there. You have to be careful when you go to bed with no underpants on, because it's like, oh, yeah, let's go. Bunker ticka down.
And that's what she said to me. And
it's go time.
Yeah. And I said, so you could be like without having a top on and that was okay. And she's like, he's an ass man. So like the boobs were not a big deal if they were unleashed.
Once there was no underwear. Yeah. I have to be careful. If especially in the mornings and stuff too, getting out of the shower or just getting dressed, I have to be careful because, you know, there's some morning loving going on too. So you have to be careful about the nakedity factor. And if I don't have a lot of time and I got to get to work, I got to get dressed fast.
Right. Right. So I thought it was really funny because at first I thought it was just modesty. And then I realized that she had like a logistical reason for wearing underpants, because if she doesn't wear underpants, aside from the deer ticks and anything else crawling into her anus or her vagina, besides her husband, that was her concern, is that she was like given the green light at NASCAR, the green flag at NASCAR to like, it was go. So she's like, yeah. So I've had to kind of like use that as my like, yes, this is playtime. Yes, this is not. No, this is not playtime. So I thought that was rather interesting.
Unspoken.
I know. So speaking of my sister and my family, and Father's Day's coming up.
Yes, it is.
Do you know, do you reach out to your dad or do you send him a card or what do you do?
I didn't send him a card. He's not big on that. He stopped sending me birthday cards and stuff years ago, but I'll reach out to him. I'll give him a call and say Happy Father's Day. And we text each other. We talk,
But do you do the whole gift thing? Like, do you send
I do for my guy. No. I do for my guy though. I mean, it's more of a big deal in our family. And although my stepdad is here, my mom and my stepdad is here. My mom has like expectations of us making sure that we, we do stuff for my stepdad on Father's Day, which of course we would, but it's not, I guess I always kind of got confused as to like, once you have a family of your own, shouldn't the expectation of making sure that you do a really big deal for with gifts and cards and all that stuff, isn't it lessen a little bit when you have to make sure that your guy is the one who's being taken care of because he's the father of your children?
I don't know.
Because you don't celebrate Father's Day.
Mm-mm. No.
Mm-mm. No. Is it because your dad took you to porn to see porn?
I don't, I call my dad, I call Elmer, and I wish him a happy Father's Day. What was really interesting is, I call my grandfather, and my grandfather is still on this planet. And what was weird is that my grandfather really liked my dad, which is interesting. And so I'd call my grandfather and I'd say, oh, hi, Papa, happy Father's Day. And he'd be like, did you call your father? And he'd be like, that's your concern? Like, here I am calling, wishing you happy Father's Day. Did I call my father? Yes, I called my father. But, yeah, I can't remember the last time I gave my dad a Father's Day gift. It might have been in high school. Hmm. You know, I'll call him and wish you happy Father's Day. And happy Father's Day to every father out there. I mean,
just not to yours.
Well, it's a worthy job, and you should be acknowledged for it. But I mean, I think there's got to be some parameters on that. You should be doing your job to get those accolades.
Okay.
So yeah.
So says the cynic.
Well, so says the cynic. So says a woman without child.
Woman without child.
Except in my fucked up. So do you think I need to send up fucked up cousin baby daddy a Father's Day card?
Yeah.
That's awesome. Yeah. You know how freaked out he would be? Happy Father's Day, cousin.
Here's a photo.
To the children we never had.
To the father of the children that almost were.
Oh my God, they never were, ever. All right. So anyway, so yeah, so happy Father's Day to everybody out there.
Yeah. Except for Elmer, not Elmer.
Right. Well, this will air the day after Father's Day. So I hope you had a wonderful Father's Day. Like, I don't get the whole tie thing. Like, I don't know why Father's Day is tied up with, no pun intended, with ties and golfing. Like,
because gifts always have to revolve around hobbies. You try to figure out what to give someone, and kids never know what to get their dad. So they just stereotypically give them a tie or a can of beer or something that involves barbecue. Because men are that simple. They're cavemen. All they care about would be barbecuing, beer, going to work because they're strapped to it. So ties. Or I guess, you know, golf, the one hobby that all men apparently are supposed to take up. Or I don't know why it's not associated with underwear, since, you know, just sitting around in your underwear with a bottle of beer.
I guess for Elmer, I could have, you know, the golf thing I did, the tie thing I did.
Did you ever actually give him porn? Because then he probably would have loved it.
You know, that was going to say, I could have certainly given him beer, and I didn't, but I should have given him porn.
Yeah.
Because that would have been a hobby.
Yeah.
That would have worked.
Yep.
How do you accept that from your here, Dad? I know this is something that's really important to you. Here's Debbie Does Dallas. Enjoy. That would be weird, wouldn't it?
Depends on the family.
Well, what are you saying about my family? Wouldn't have been weird in my family, perhaps.
No. Nope.
Mm-mm. Okay.
Do you embrace the weird?
I am the weird. I had someone came over yesterday, and my mother and my sister were here. And he's like, what's going on? Your family's around. And I go, yeah. I go, get my brother and my father. We got a Jerry Springer show right here. Bye. Smack dab in my home. So I say that without love. You know, the truth is.
I say that with love and no judgment.
No, in all seriousness, I love my family so much. I really, really love my family so much. But I'm not blind to the fact that we are completely dysfunctional. And I don't really know any family that's not. So I'm just not afraid to admit that we come from a place of dysfunction, and we acknowledge it. So whichever one of my family members is listening to the show, whether it's my nephews or my sister or my brother or my dad who will never listen to the show, or my mom who occasionally listens to it, I love you. That's and right. I'm really, really, huzzah. Really glad to be part
huzzah,
of it.
Huzzah, huzzah, embrace the weird.
And thank you for all the stories that you allow me to share, because are wacky.
We wouldn't have a show without your family.
Where is the love?
Embracing their weird. All right, listen. I got to go to the store and get ingredients to make ice cream.
Why is it that we end the show because you got to go? I got to go.
I know your plane's coming. Listen. Oh, nope, you missed it. You missed your flight.
Right, I totally missed it.
Oh, nope, it's coming back. Circling back around again.
Yep. Yeah, let me do this.
So I don't care. I don't care what you say. I got to go. I got to go because maybe it makes our listeners feel like I have more of an exciting life that I lead. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know either.
I think it's just because I'm looking at the clock. You don't look at the clock. I'm looking at the clock going, yeah, we're good. I got to go.
Do you know what? You know what, Keek? I look at you and I see love, and I see how much time I want to spend with you, and how much time I enjoy spending with our listeners. And clearly that's not what you see.
You're so full of shit.
I am full of shit. Hey, listen, you guys, I love you so much. And so does Keek.
I do. I really, really do.
I check out the handcuffs at www.thehandcuffs.com. I know they had a really great show in Andersonville, Chicago last weekend, I think it was. So we really appreciate their lending us their artistry. We will see you next week. And well, I'm sure we're going to have some more shit to talk about then. Take care, you guys.
Love you. Bye.
I need someone who's clean with a dirty mind.